When I was younger, I was part of one of those families that thought it was best not to have video games in our home. So for a while, my friends had Super Nintendos and Game Boys and Segas, or later the Nintendo 64 or the PlayStation, and we didn't. I remember imagining what it would be like to have one of those consoles in our home so I could play games whenever I wanted, not just when we went to someone's house and I got the chance to play. Then later in my childhood, one of my grandparents bought us a new, though lesser known, handheld gaming system. And for the first time, we actually had video games at home. At first, it was exciting, but it didn't take long before it lost its shine. We only had a couple of games that you could play on it, and after a while, they got repetitive, like, I'm just going to play the same game over and over and over, I guess. And the excitement just faded. The glory I thought those systems would bring didn't last. And it can often be like that in many areas of our lives as well. We start to believe something is glorious, something worth everything to see and experience if we could, so much so that we start to build our lives around it without ever even realizing it. It becomes the center and focus of our attention. Sometimes it's the things that we want to achieve in life. Maybe it's looking forward to graduation. Like that would just be the best thing that I could, if I could reach that goal, that would be it. Or getting a promotion, or retiring well, or reaching a goal that we've been chasing for years. Sometimes it's how we're seen by other people. If we could just be popular, if we could just be admired, if we could just be known as successful or exciting or all put together. Or maybe it's just being on the right side of politics or having a significant influence in culture and the world. And sometimes it's what we have or experience that causes this. Maybe it's a certain income level, a certain relationship status, a certain neighborhood that we live in, a certain lifestyle, a Lombardi trophy or a Stanley Cup maybe. The right kind of body or the strength that we wish we had or the skill set that we wish we had. Maybe if we just had the newest gadgets, the best vacations, the next upgrade in life, that finally we would be satisfied and feel like yeah, that would be it. We all have those things, those experiences, where we're tempted to treat them as glorious. Like they're the final thing that will satisfy us. Like they'll be the most meaningful thing we could see or have. And so we give our time to them, our energy, our money, our attention, because deep down we believe nothing else would be better. We're constantly pulled toward things we think will satisfy us most. And even when one of them fades, when it stops shining the way we thought it would, we don't stop looking for glory. We're not like, well, I guess glory just doesn't exist. We just turn our attention somewhere else and move on and try to find it somewhere else. But that too eventually starts to fade and the cycle continues. So where do we turn to see and encounter glory that doesn't fade? The Apostle Paul, leader in the early church and writer of 2 Corinthians, points us to that glory in chapters 3 and 4. We find it in Jesus. Jesus reveals real glory, the glory of God. The reality Paul exposes in this passage is that we're tempted to believe we can see reality clearly all on our own. That we can recognize what is truly glorious just by ourselves. But the Spirit of God says through Paul that the glory of God is actually veiled to us. We don't see it clearly. We don't see it clearly on our own. We don't see reality as it really is. We see a dim, obscured version. Like you might be able to tell there's a Bible under here, but it's obscured because of what's covering it. And yet here's the good news. There is a way that we can see clearly. We don't have to remain in confusion or dimness of sight. Paul shows us that Jesus makes it possible to see rightly. Jesus is what removes the veil that keeps reality obscure to us. Jesus removes the veil that keeps us from seeing the truest glory, the glory of God. Jesus removes the veil that keeps us from knowing who God truly is and truly living in his light and his life. So while we're constantly tempted to chase glories that fade, Jesus invites us to something different. He invites us to encounter real glory, the glory of God through him. And this is what God's word is calling us to believe. Jesus reveals real glory. Jesus reveals real glory. The background of this passage in 2 Corinthians helps us understand why Paul speaks so strongly about glory and veils and truly seeing reality. As we've looked at in previous weeks, people in the church were questioning Paul's credibility as a leader of the church. We encounter that in 2 Corinthians early on, and we see it again here in chapters 3 and 4. Also overlapping with those accusations were people called the Judaizers. They were followers of Jesus who believed that Christians were still required to strictly follow the Mosaic Law, the Old Testament commandments. In many ways, they were the ultra-religious of their day, as Mitch highlighted last week. Those expecting more of people than Jesus expected of people. And woven into all of this were all the issues of repentance and forgiveness that Paul addressed earlier in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 11 that we talked about a couple weeks ago. But underneath all these conflicts was an even deeper issue. These weren't just disagreements about Paul or disagreements about rules. They reflected two very different ways of seeing reality and what it means to relate to God. So Paul is speaking it into a church caught between two different paradigms. On one side is the old covenant ministry of Moses. The law is engraved on the stone tablets, think the Ten Commandments here. Paul even references that in chapter 3, verse 7. And on the other side is the new covenant ministry of Jesus, where God's Spirit changes people from the inside out, making their lives like living letters of God's work. And the difference between these two paradigms is Jesus. Something changes with Jesus. People's perception of reality changes with Jesus. People's relationship with God changes with Jesus. And throughout this section of Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, Paul contrasts two paradigms and shows how Jesus makes all the difference in the glory of God that people are able to see and experience. Paul highlights how something's better with Jesus. Paul brings us to Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35, when God revealed his law to Israel through Moses. And what we encounter in that passage is that God had led Israel out of Egypt into the desert and to the base of a mountain, and Moses was going to go up to the mountain and get God's law. God was going to reveal his law, his word to him, and then Moses was going to bring it down. And what we encounter in that passage is that as Moses comes down, his face is radiant from being in God's presence. And after he reveals God's word to the people, it says that he covers his face so that they can't see the radiance from him being in God's presence. Moses put a veil over his face until he went back up to see God and be in his presence again. Paul describes this in a way that helps us see what's really going on. In a sense, Moses wasn't meant to become the focus. The radiance on his face was never the point. The point was God's revelation, what God was saying and doing among his people. And Paul says that even the radiance of Moses' face was temporary. It was fading. Yes, it was a glimpse of God's glory, but it was not to be full or lasting. That wasn't supposed to be the focal point. God was leading his people into something far greater. It was an entry point into God's revelation, but it wasn't the destination. There was something more it was pointing towards, something greater still to come. Maybe let me put it this way. We have a lot of Legos in our house, and maybe some of you do too. And when my kids get a new Lego set, they usually build the thing how the box instructs you to do it. Like, it comes with a manual, and step by step you put that Lego set together. And it looks awesome once it's done. And at first it's very exciting and very impressive, but if it's anything like my kids, they don't want to leave it that way. Like, it loses its shine, and they take all the pieces apart. Because the manual is just an entry point into what those pieces are capable of. Those same pieces can be made into many other creations, something that's maybe even more exciting and glorious than what the original instructions gave it. The first kind of creation has a kind of initial glory because it doesn't last in the same way as the others, because it's only an expression of what those pieces can do. And in a similar way, Paul is saying that the radiance on Moses' face was never meant to be the glory that the people were captivated by. It was real glory, but it was temporary glory. And even the veil, in a sense, kept the people from fixating their attention on the wrong thing. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 7 and following. Moses wasn't meant to be the object of glory. He was a messenger pointing beyond himself. So Paul is saying, Judaizers, those of you who are focused on making everybody live by the law of Moses, don't stop at Moses. Don't fix your eyes on the created reflection, because that's what they were doing. They were paying attention to Moses and missing the thing that Moses was trying to say. Don't pay attention to me. Pay attention to this other thing. Rather, Moses is saying, look to God himself, the one I'm pointing you toward in the first place, and ask, God, what are you doing here? What is this other thing that you're at work doing? How have you revealed yourself? And is there anything else you're revealing? Is there anything else that might be more glorious than what we find captivating? Something more hopeful, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Which is what enables Paul to stand firm in his focus on Jesus going forward. But before Paul fully focuses on Jesus, he continues writing and adapts the veil covering the passing glory on Moses' face as a metaphor for the condition of the heart in relation to engaging with God's revelation. Paul describes how the people, in a sense, didn't listen to Moses' invitation to look beyond him to see a greater glory in God's revelation. And as they kept focusing on the lesser glory on his face, their minds and hearts became dulled and hardened. They became less and less able to recognize the greater glory of God's revelation. It was as if there was a veil covering their hearts. Their hearts were covered and were unable to see the glory of God. Let me give you a picture of what I mean here. When I was younger and competed in gymnastics, my hands would become very calloused from the different activities that I had to do, from constantly swinging around bars or holding on to rings or holding on and swinging around the pommel horse. Over time, my hands were so calloused that, you could just take a razor and, scrape off the calluses because there was, no feeling there anymore. And it just built up. And so there was just such a callus that there was no more pain that I felt swinging around the bar. Over time, my hands became less sensitive. And eventually, that just felt normal. I almost didn't know any different after a while. And in a similar way, Paul is saying that when people fixate their attention on a passing glory, something happens inwardly. The heart becomes calloused. The mind becomes dulled. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. And that callousness itself becomes like a veil covering our heart and keeping us from seeing beyond what we see right there in that moment. It keeps us from seeing reality as it is, as God wants us to see it. It obscures them from the greater glory, the glory of God. But beyond just hearts being veiled to the greater glory in God, Paul also highlights that the God of this age, Satan, the devil, the evil force of this world, also blinds the minds of people from seeing the greater glory, the glory of God. In this situation, people may even desire to look past the fading glories of the world to the greater glory of God, but unseen spiritual forces are at war all around us and keep us from seeing God as he truly is. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. So even if people are searching for God and the greater glory he wants to reveal to us, even if they're longing for something more, even if they're trying to look past the fading glories, there is this active resistance against them seeing clearly, against us seeing clearly. A spiritual blindness that keeps us from recognizing the glory of God. Let me give you an image for this. You're driving in the winter and salt-covered snow sprays up onto your windshield and you just ran out of windshield wiper fluid. Or maybe you're in a heavy rainstorm and the windshield wipers just cannot get the water off fast enough. The reality is there's something obscuring you from seeing clearly. In those moments, you're trying to see clearly, but something is covering your view. Your view is obstructed. And in a similar way, this is how Paul describes our spiritual condition apart from God's work in our life. We may be trying to see God. We may be even reaching for something beyond the fading glory that the world has to offer. But there are realities both within us and around us that keep us from seeing clearly. There is a veil between us and the glory of God. Finally, throughout this portion of Paul's letter, he references a fourth dimension with the veil metaphor. But this time, it's used in reference to Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 8, Paul points to the greater glory that comes through the ministry of the Spirit. And as he develops that thought, he makes it clear that the Spirit is the Lord, and the Lord is Christ. It's Jesus himself. In other words, the greater glory is not an idea or a concept or a system. The greater glory comes through Jesus. Jesus is the greater glory, the fulfillment of what has always been pointed toward, even from Moses on forward. Then in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14, Paul goes further and says that the hardened, calloused veil that keeps people from seeing this greater glory, the glory of God, is only taken away in Christ. Only in Jesus can this veil be taken away for us to see God clearly. And then in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, Paul brings it to a climax. The same God who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who shines his light into our hearts, giving us the light of the knowledge of God's glory, displayed in the face of Christ. Not Moses' face, the face of Christ. What Paul is laboring to show the Corinthians and us today is that Jesus is what reveals real glory. Jesus is the greater glory. He is the one who opens blind eyes and softens hardened hearts. He is the one who lifts the veil that sin and even the God of this age places in front of us. Maybe this image might help you as well. It's a bit like opening a gift. The paper is slowly pulled away and the tissue paper removed from the gift bag. And what is hidden is finally revealed. In a similar way, when we turn to Jesus, the veil is removed. God is made known more clearly, more truly, and more fully than we've ever known before. It's only by Jesus lifting the veil that we can clearly see God for who he truly is. And we encounter a glory that doesn't fade, a glory that is greater than anything we could discover on our own. A surpassing glory that draws us into an ongoing life of discovering the abundant life of God. And it's only through Jesus that Jesus reveals real glory. Jesus reveals real glory. He's the one who makes real glory visible to us, possible for us to experience. With family in Illinois, we make quite a few trips across Interstate 90 between here and Chicago. On the way back east near Howe, Indiana, there is a billboard that I've noticed for years. It's a billboard for a Bill Ingvall show that was in 2018. And since 2018, it's never changed. Its color has faded. It's always struck me that, like, how has no one replaced this billboard with something else yet? Like, it's prime real estate and no one's done anything with it. But it just sits there, weathered and worn, no updates to it, no one replaces it. What was once bright and clear has faded over time until it's almost not even noticeable as you're driving by, other than apparently me. People pass by it all the time and probably barely see it because it's not even relevant information anymore. It's old. Its original glory had faded to where it's been veiled from being noticeable or impactful to people. And that's a picture of the state of the fading glories that we chase, apart from Jesus. What glory are you tempted by? What fading glory has your attention? Or how has your captivation with lesser glories kept you from seeing the greater glory of God? Or what is the God of this age placing in your way that keeps you from seeing the greater glory of God? How is God's Spirit, how is God's Word calling you to turn to Jesus? And let him remove the veil so you can see real glory, the glory of God. Russell Brand is known as a comedian and an actor, and he was primarily an actor and comedian during the early 2000s. He's lived the stereotypical celebrity life of fame and pleasure, yet in recent years, his life has taken a drastic turn. I want to invite you to watch this short clip that gives a glimpse of the change that he's encountered. So if you're interested at all, he posts a lot about his journey in coming to follow Jesus, and it's just interesting. You can just tell there's a veil that's been uncovered in his life to where like he can't see reality differently now that he's encountered Jesus. But you notice in that clip there, Russell spoke about chasing fading glories or shadow glory, if you will. And now as he's turned toward Christ and been baptized, he describes something like what we've been talking about this morning, like a veil being lifted and seeing a surpassing glory, the glory of God. And he can't look away now. He's encountered that glory that doesn't fade. He's encountered real glory in Jesus because Jesus reveals real glory. If you're tired of chasing fading glories, I invite you to turn to Jesus and let him reveal the greater glory of God. Turn to Jesus and express your faith through baptism and encounter and experience the unsurpassable glory of God. If you'd like to take that step of faith, please find me or another trusted follower of Jesus here, and we'd be glad to help you take that step of faith. And if you've already expressed your faith in Jesus through baptism, don't give in to fading glories. I know it can be tempting to do that, but stay turned to Jesus. Stay turned to Jesus and let him keep showing you more and more and more of God and the abundant life he has for you, the abundant life in his glory. I think one of the more exciting things for me about the future is that in Christ, there's always something new to discover. It's never like you reach the end. There's always something more. And when we think about that and like we spend eternity with Christ, how is there an eternity's worth of always discovering more? Like, if there's not some unsurpassable glory like that, I don't know what it would be. And that's what Paul seems to be pointing us towards. So stay turned to Jesus and see the greater glory. Would you join me in prayer as we close? Father God, thank you for your son Jesus who came to live among us and show us who you truly are, to show us your glory, and just the little glimpse that we have of it now, and we look forward to how much more we get to see with you in eternity. Father, thank you that you're better than anything else this world has to offer. Father, help us to not be captivated by lesser glories, things that have no life in the end, but to only be captivated by you, to let you transform us from the inside out, to remove the veil that we allow to have happen on our hearts from being turned away from you, to remove the veil and go against what the evil one wants to stop us from seeing of who you are. Father, thank you that you're powerful enough to do that, that you are the one who can help us to truly see reality clearly. Help us to stay turned toward you. It's by the power of your Spirit and through your Son, Jesus, we pray this. Amen.